children can go to children's ministry. And while you've got your Bibles out, turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, and it said, I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, the work is great and scattered, and we are separated on the wall, one far from another. In whatsoever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored at the work while half of them held the spears from dawn until the stars come out. Of course, he's talking here about the rebuilding of the wall in the time of Nehemiah. And with the help of the Lord today, I want to talk to you about discouragement and some cures for discouragement. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for your touch, God. Pray for your spirit, Lord, to be manifest in this place. Speak to our hearts and our minds, Lord, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Discouragement is a problem that is unique to human beings. And it's universal. Eventually, everyone at one time or another is going to experience some form of discouragement. Sometimes, maybe many times, depends on the situations at life. Perhaps somebody here tonight, today, daytime, it's not nighttime, it's daytime. You might even be discouraged this very moment. What causes discouragement? There's several things that cause discouragement. One of them is fatigue. When you're physically or emotionally exhausted, perhaps you have some health issues. Let me tell you something. Health issues are no fun. If you've never had any health issues, you're awesome. Amen. But unfortunately, health issues can cause a lot of fatigue and exhaustion just from the point of being sick, or whatever issues that you're having cause you a lot of problems. By the way, I went to, most of you know, but I went to the doctor this week, two doctors. I went to the cardiologist and the general practitioner, and all my blood tests were normal. My cancer markers are down, thank God. My A1C, which is, I was headed up towards diabetic, is headed back down. My cholesterol was normal. They still want me to take statins, and I said no. I'm not taking those things. My cholesterol is normal. So the Lord can help us. You know, I went through quite a bit of physical stuff last year. And just having health issues can cause you really to be fatigued and exhausted. And someone that is fatigued and exhausted is a prime candidate for discouragement. Your defenses are lowered, and things can seem bleaker than they really are. And that's what the devil tries to do, right? He tries to take everything and make it look a whole lot worse than it really is. Amen. When you're living for God, let me tell you something. When you're living for the Lord, here's the problem. You can't see what path you would have taken if you weren't living for God as to where you are now. But I can guarantee you that where you are now is much better than where you would be if you had not been living for God. Amen. The second cause can be frustration. Sometimes when unfinished tasks pile up or nothing seems to be working, you ever get frustrated when You're trying to do stuff. You're trying to maybe work for the Lord. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do stuff on the house. And it just seems like nothing is working. That can be very, very frustrating. And it's natural to feel overwhelmed. Sometimes you can feel like you're just spinning your wheels. Anybody ever felt like that? Feels like you're not going anywhere. Feels like you're stuck in a rut. Feels like you're just spinning your wheels in life and nothing is happening. And then trivial matters or the unexpected interrupt you and prevent you from accomplishing what you really need to do. And out of frustration can easily breed discouragement. Number three, another cause for discouragement can be failure. Sometimes your best laid plans fall apart. Projects collapse. Deals fall through. No one shows up to an event that you're having. How do you react? Do you give in to self-pity? Do you blame others? As one man said, just when I think I can make ends meet, somebody moves the ends. That can be very discouraging. Not everything we do works out. I know I've got a good attitude towards that on the house, at least. There's been times nobody's ever been to my house and done anything, except the only time was when they did the oil tank. Otherwise, I've done all the maintenance on the house. I put the roof on and all that stuff. And there's been times when I've made mistakes and it's cost me more money than it would have cost me. But when I look at all the times I was successful versus the times that I failed, I've made out a whole lot better, financially at least, because it cost me a whole lot less to do some of the things that I do myself. Amen. Number four, another cause, is fear. Does anybody remember the acronym for fear? False evidence appearing real. That's a great acronym for fear. And fear is behind more discouragement than we would like to admit. Fear of criticism, what will people think? Fear of responsibility, what if I drop the ball and it doesn't work out? Fear of failure, what if I blow it? Can cause a major onset of discouragement. Fear itself. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. People drop all kinds of pills because of fear. I was reading the statistics on the number of people in the United States that are on antidepressants, and it is staggering. Absolutely staggering, the numbers of people that are on antidepressants. Some people drink to alleviate and escape fear. Instead of turning to the Lord, they turn to the bottle. And with all the medication and psychiatrists and counselors that are available, why cannot the medical profession fix fear? The reason is they don't know what the source of fear is. They deal with fear as an emotion. But fear is not an emotion. As we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear shows up as an emotion, but in all reality, fear is a spirit that is trying its very best to discourage you. And sometimes the spirit of fear will attack you. And if you don't recognize it, it can cause discouragement. And sometimes, let me tell you something, sometimes in life, sometimes things don't look very good. And there, if you were not living for God, there might be some real concern to fear. But we serve a God that can take situations and can change them. He can take terrible things that are happening and make good come out of it. That's if we'll live for the Lord, if we'll serve the Lord. Amen. What are some of the cures for discouragement? There's that fascinating story in the Bible about how Nehemiah mobilized the residents of Jerusalem in Nehemiah chapter 4 to build the wall around the entire city. And halfway through the project, the people became discouraged and wanted to give up because of some of the causes that I've given here. And here's some of the things that Nehemiah taught us about defeating discouragement. Number one is rest your body. They say if you burn a candle at both ends, eventually that candle's going to burn out. If you look at Mark 6, 22 through 32. Mark 6, verses 22 through 32. Boy, I'm all spread out today. I don't have that little Bible stand anymore. This is great. I was just going to try to build something. Actually, for the last 6 months, I've been thinking about building something that would fit on top of that thing. So I'm glad I didn't have to do that. Mark chapter 6, verses 22 through 32. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever you will, and I'm going to give it to you. And he swore to her, whatever you ask me. Boy, sometimes women got power. I will give you up to half of the kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And the mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. Now, I don't know if you remember, but 2 weeks ago I preached, and one of the scriptures was talking about John the Baptist. And Jesus told John the Baptist, blessed is he that is not offended in me. I went to last week to preach in Metuchen with Pastor Nevius, and a lot of you don't know Pastor Nevius, but his wife had a positive mammogram for cancer, and they forgot to call her. And to make a long story short, she died. His son has lost his faith in the Lord. He's very angry with God. And when I was standing down there getting ready to preach, the Lord spoke to me and said, that man has stood through and was not offended by me. Think about it. Now, since that time, the Lord has given him another. It's been about 5 years, maybe six or seven. And the Lord has brought someone in his life. And she actually was not in church. And she actually was baptized and got the Holy Ghost. Somebody from his youth, her husband had died. They had parted ways many years ago. Because he's a little bit older than me. So he dated her when she was 18. So that they parted ways, and she had a family and a husband, and he died. And somehow after Sister Nevius had passed away, they connected. They ended up getting married, and they're both living for God today. But the Lord spoke to me and said, that man was not offended by me. How easy is it for some of us to get offended by God? Things don't work out the right way. Maybe you're praying and saying, God, would you provide? There's a need. And the Lord says, don't be offended if I don't provide this time. How many people get offended with God? And here, the original one that was told us was John the Baptist, and we see that Herodias danced before Herod and asked for his head. John didn't get delivered. John had his head handed to him on a platter. And the king, verse 26, it says, the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, and he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. And he brought his head in a charger, gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples had heard it, they came to look up took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things which they had done and what he had taught. And he said to them in verse 31, he said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. And there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed unto a desert place by ship privately. There's times when the Lord recommends that you need to rest. Somebody said it like this many years ago, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. If you don't get some rest, you will fall apart. So sometimes in our discouragement, it's because we are exhausted. And I've been guilty of that. When I was working on the door downstairs several years ago, it's been probably 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, and that morning, God spoke to me and says, you need to sleep late. And I was like, I can't sleep late. I'm really bad at not getting stuff done. And to see how bad I am, you can look downstairs in that hallway downstairs. There's a piece of trim that big that's missing because I haven't got around to finishing it. I'm terrible sometimes. I really am. I'm terrible sometimes. And, of course, that morning I was cutting with the saw and cut my fingertips off. And for the next 6 or 8 months I didn't do anything anyway, because let me tell you something, that was the most painful thing that you can pop, and it actually still hurts. You can believe this. It actually feels numb, painful, and ticklish at the same time, but I've gotten used to it. It's crazy. It just tore up all the nerves in the ends of my hand. And if I had to listen to the Lord and the Lord said, sleep a little bit longer, I don't think that would have happened. Sometimes the Lord tells us, you need to rest, and you need to relax just a little bit. Now, relaxing all the time is not good, but the Lord tells you sometimes you need to rest. And when the Lord tells you you need to rest, you need to listen to the Lord. Amen. That can be a cure for discouragement when you're totally exhausted, when you're totally wiped out. Seems like everything's going wrong, and you get a little bit of rest, and you, all of a sudden your perspective begins to change a little bit. Reorganize your life. Discouragement doesn't necessarily mean you are doing the wrong thing. It may be that you are doing the right thing in the wrong way. Try a new approach. Shake up things a little bit. Psalms 119 and 133. They actually wrote a choir song about this, Brother Dan. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps. And that should be our prayer every day when you pray. Lord, would you order my steps? Would you lead me? Would you guide me? Here's a big one. And sometimes people struggle with this. Is remember that God will help you. Now, that seems very basic, but I have had people come to me and have struggled with that thought that God would help them. In Psalms 46, 1 through 5, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in peacetime. Is that what it says? No. It says He's a very present help in trouble. When things are difficult, the Lord is there to help us. Now, there are going to be times when He'll let you sweat a little bit. And He'll let you go through some things. But ultimately, the promises of God are there. It says, therefore, in verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle and the Most High, and God is in her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, because this is one of my absolute favorite scriptures in the Bible. Sometimes you can let yourself get discouraged. Sometimes things in life can discourage you. Sometimes things that happen, it seems like no matter what you do, nothing's working out. And again, health issues, all kinds of crazy stuff. In Isaiah chapter 43, the first few verses, says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Somebody that looks into these things says that there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day. There's a fear not. Now, he talks about the natural, he talks about Jacob and Israel, the natural man and the spiritual man, the name given by God. We have been born again. We were natural. We are spiritual now. This promise is for us. It says, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. When you think about in the book of Daniel, you had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We will not bow. So they took them bound into the fiery furnace. Threw them in. The guards that threw them into the fiery furnace died. And the king went up and he said, I thought we put three men in there. Lo, I see the fourth man in the fire like as the Son of God. And the word of the Lord tells us that their bonds were gone. There was no smell of smoke upon them, and the hairs on their head were not even singed. You can go into trials when you have your mind made up and set upon the Lord. You can go through difficulties, and down the road people will look at you and have absolutely no... Can you actually comprehend what the three Hebrew children went through? We cannot comprehend it. Walking in the fire, not getting burnt. Not, you know, just a few weeks ago, I was using my smoker, smoking some meat, and a little ember fell out of the pan when I was working on it. And dumb me, I was walking around with my socks on outside. And guess what happened? I stepped on that ember. And the problem was I have these blood pressure socks on, and they're very stretchy. So the ember burned right into that sock and right into my foot. That was just one little ember. That thing hurt. It really hurt. Can you imagine walking in a fiery furnace and having the Lord sustain you? We can't really imagine that, can we? But he said, if you go through the fire, you're not going to be burnt. If you go through the waters, they're not going to overflow you. Amen. Another cure for discouragement. There's a lot of talk about resist today. Well, let me tell you the real thing that you got to resist. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. You have to resist discouragement. Fight back. Discouragement is a choice. What does the scripture say? It says, he that does what to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endures. Endurance is not something that is easy. Endurance is something that is difficult. When a runner runs, they are doing their best to endure the race. And we have to endure some things in our life. If you feel discouraged, it's because you've allowed yourself. You've chosen to feel that way. No one is forcing you to feel bad. Just hang on and do what's right in spite of your feelings. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by the way things look. We walk according to the word of the Lord. And sometimes as we walk according to the word of the Lord, we're walking by faith, we're not walking by sight, and that false evidence appears real. Even though it's contrary to what the word of God says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Feelings don't last forever. One of the worst things that you can do, you know, sometimes I really haven't experienced this, but I get online to where some preachers go, and sometimes they're like, it's Monday morning, I want to quit. Things didn't go good over the weekend. Things were difficult. One of the worst things that you can do is make a decision while you're discouraged. Amen. While your feelings are all messed up, you make a decision, and it's the wrong decision, possibly. So you never want to make a decision. And in this case, I'm talking about preachers because, you know, I don't think I've ever woken up on a Monday morning and says, I can't stand this anymore. I got to quit. But there's preachers that do that. The things haven't gone well and so on and so forth. But the thing that I've learned is never make a decision when things aren't going well. When you're angry, when you're mad, when you're discouraged, don't do that. Because that will mess you up big time. Because feelings don't last forever. Sooner or later, there will be a clarity that comes in. Now, in Judges chapter 20, verses 22 through 23, it says, the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother?" And the Lord said, "Go up against him." Now, that was a tough thing. But what I'm pointing out here is in their discouragement, they sought the Lord. Their discouragement, they sought the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. David was on the run. King Saul was trying to kill him. And I think it was the Amalekites came in, all his 400 men with the wives and the old folks and the woman were in Ziklag, and they came into Ziklag, took everybody prisoner except the warriors. And the Bible says that David's men spoke of stoning him. And this is such a powerful scripture. I don't know exactly what David did, but it says in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters." And here's the key here. "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." David encouraged himself in the Lord. While everybody else was hating on him, while everybody else said, "Man, you know what? You have brought us down just a terrible place. You've got our wives, you've got our children, you've got our grandmas and grandpas. They're all taken by the people, by the Amalekites. We're just going to kill you." He didn't have anywhere else to turn. But he turned to the Lord. And I don't know exactly what he did. It could be just like it said in Judges 20, verses 23, "And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord." But whatever the case was, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Before you give up, try encouraging yourself in the Lord. Before you're like, "I can't do this anymore," try encouraging yourself in the Lord. It does great wonders. And in that, you will resist discouragement. Because like I said before, everyone gets discouraged at one time or another. Everybody. What you do when you're discouraged will either make you or break you. And the last one is, don't give in to fear. That old false evidence appearing real. Psalms 34 and 4 said, "I sought the Lord, and He heard me." Notice it doesn't say that He delivered him from all his troubles. It says He delivered him from all his fears. Fear can be a terrible thing. And when David sought the Lord delivered him from all his fears. Fear is that biggest problem facing humanity. It's the underlying cause of many societal and health problems. Fear produces physical reactions such as anxiety, tension, apprehension, tight neck muscles, stomach problems, and even pain. It produces spiritual reactions, such as reacting unkindly, having a critical spirit. Fear will mess with us in many different ways. And of course, one of the greatest reasons people use drugs and alcohol is to escape fear, to escape tension, to escape those kind of things. And they go off into a world that is a make-believe world. So how about you today? Are you willing to resist discouragement? Are you willing to reorganize your life if necessary? Ask the Lord to order my steps. Will you remember God will help you? Will you even rest your body if the Lord tells you? You need to relax a little bit. You need to just chill out a little bit. Everything can wait for tomorrow. One night is not gonna take care of everything. One night's not going to ruin everything. And I always used to be a very highly motivated, got to get stuff done, got to do these things. But in the last few years, I've come to the realization sometimes some things can wait. It's just like this pulpit I was going to, before I even used it, I've got some rollers down here. I was going to put rollers on it so we could just roll it out of here real easy. I was going to lighten it and make it lighter.